Thank you. never fail.
For all
that you are, for all that you've done and yet will do. We thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Thank God. And the people of God said, amen. Give him a praise as you have your seats. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy, worthy. Anyone who needs a card or an envelope that Sis Dorothy has to write a little tribute to Pastor Wallace, please see her before we get to the end of the service. Well, it's offering time in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Give God a praise, because we got something that we can give back. Hallelujah. We have many ways that you can give. You can give online if you would prefer to. You can give through the church app, or you can bring your gift right to the front of the altar. Be blessed as you give.
Pastor Joy and Pastor Wallace, I just want to let you know that Doris and I, we love you guys. Y'all are wonderful. And I just want to thank you for how you have blessed my life. Even before I started coming here, you were such a great influence on my life, and you didn't even know that, because I wanted to be at a church where God's people met together. I want a glimpse of heaven right here on earth, and where all of God's people come together to worship him. It's been such a joy coming here. We've truly been blessed by it. We thank you for allowing us to be here, because you couldn't tell me not to come. But I thank you for inviting us, and I ask a blessing upon you and Joy's life, that God will continue to encourage you and to inspire you as you go forward. I know things are not easy for you, but I ask this of you, that you continue to keep your eyes upon God, just as Jehoshaphat did, because we don't always know what to do, but God does. Be blessed.
Good afternoon, Pastor Wallace. This is Jonathan Ellis, one of your biggest fans. You have brought back so much passion for my love of Jesus Christ that I can't thank you enough. You and the Confidence Shop team have made me feel so welcome. And when I joined Company Shop back in February, that I wish I had made the transition a long time ago. But I'm at home now, so with Company Shop. May you be blessed this October for Pastor Appreciation Month. And let us know what we can do for you and with you as we move forward at Company Shop International Church. I love you. I always will, even if I move on, if I move, but I don't plan on it anytime soon. God bless your family, and enjoy the waterfront. Always love you, brother.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. It is another time that we celebrate your anniversary, and I am so proud to be a part of the anniversary to celebrate you. The Bible says to give honor where honor is due, and we do honor you. I want you to know that I do honor your pastoralship, your leadership, your friendship, and your fellowship. I am so happy that the Lord led me to come here back in 2008. So I have been with the flock now for 12 years. And I am so grateful the Lord led me to come here to Carpenter Shop International Church, where you are our pastor. And I thank you for being my pastor, my friend. You feel like a son to me, really. But I have to remember that you are my pastor and that you are in leadership. I thank God for how he has blessed you. Even though you have been through some heartaches, I know you've been some health aches, but praise God, he brought you through them all. And I just thank God. Again, I give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. I just pray that you continue to be faithful. I pray that you continue to preach and teach the word of God by his spirit, all of his spirit, and in his spirit. I pray that you will continue. You and Pastor Joy, don't let me leave her out, because she is a part of this union. So I thank God. Again, I am grateful that God has led me here. It took me quite a few visits before I decided, I won't say I decided, before the Lord decided that this is where he wanted me to be. So I am grateful again. And I pray that you and Pastor Joy, I just pray that you will continue to sing the songs of joy, to giving God the praise, the glory, and the honor, to exalt him and magnify him with the voice that he has given you to sing the songs of Zion. So Pastor, Sister Joy, Pastor Phillips, I want you all to know that I love you dearly, and I pray for you constantly. So, happy anniversary. With love.
Nothing else will do. I just want you. Listen to that verse. Just sing that verse one more time.
Never wanna leave.
give the Lord praise today. Come on. Hallelujah. Song. I want to speak to you today on the gift of ministry. I preach away a lot of times, and a lot of times I preach about preachers. And I'm always reluctant to preach about preachers here because I am one. But I prayed about today and I thought, Lord, it's right, it's right. And please don't think that anything that I say today is to advance myself or to pat myself on the back. This time of year brings me a lot of memory. I live in the country. I love to see the huge billows of peanut dust going across the horizon. I think Joy smells it before me. She smells the peanuts being dug, and she says it won't be long. And they'll lay there on the ground a few days, and before long, in fact, the guys worked late last night. There were peanut combines in the field, harvesters, and that just gentle breeze, not a big one, just causes that peanut dust just to float. And when the sun goes down, the lights come on, and they keep picking. That's where I was when one of the most tender times in my life. I was a farmer. I wanted to be a farmer. I started with a farmer at 12 years old. He hired 10 boys, and we chopped peanuts. They're getting back to that now. They quit it for many years and just use sprays, chemicals. But I was one of 10 boys hired at 12 years old. And after chopping peanuts for 3 weeks, the boss came. His name is Ed. He watches us online. Hey, Ed. His name was Ed, and he came to me. He came to me, and he said, listen, today's the last day for everybody except you. I watched the other 9 get paid, and he let them go, and he said, can you drive a tractor? And I said, yes. I never even sat on one, much less drive one. But I said, yes, I can. He said, do you see that Ford over there? He said, I just want you to take that tractor to the barn. And I hopped up on it, and I looked down between my feet, and I saw a short stick. And for those of you who've been on tractors, this means a lot to you. I saw a short stick on the right and a big stick on the left. The big stick had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and an R on there. That means 6 gears and a reverse. The short stick had L at the top and H at the bottom. I said, that must be low. And I like high. Come on, somebody. It must be high. So I cranked the tractor up and I drove it to the barn. And when I got there, he said, have you ever driven a tractor? I said, not till today. He said, that's what I like about you. He said, in the fields, you were a standout. And that's why I let the other 9 go. He said, because you committed to the task. Zach, you remind me of this. A lot of you just see Zach sitting on the front row sometimes, but if you've ever been on a task with him, working, you better have your stuff in order, because he's going to work around you. He's going to get ahead of you. And he's going to be hard to keep up with. And he doesn't have laziness. And he doesn't not show up. He's always faithful. We tell him a lot of times, hey, man, take some time off. He says, nah. How many vacation days you got? 72. Well, won't you take some time off? We'll get off a couple of weeks at Christmas. So that's what he says, okay? Why are you working so hard? Just trying to get ahead, trying to move forward, okay? That's a strong ethic. That's a strong work ethic. Well, I don't know that he got that from me, but maybe some of it, okay? Maybe I can get a little credit. His mama's the same way. We stay on task. We don't like to waste time. And I was one of those little boys that got rewarded for that consistency, that tenacity. And the boss said to me, I want you to stay on. I was 12, and I stayed with him until I walked the line of graduation at NC State University many years after that. I farmed, and I had aspirations to be a farmer. And in those moments, like right now, the harvest where the peanut dust is floating across the field, and now farmers have pulled out the combines and they're harvesting soybeans, and you know, there's a little corn left, not much. They have to make a decision because peanuts can't stay in the ground for so long. They have to come out. And then I pray today is not a day that messes them up because they're calling for rain. But in those tender moments, I remember just, this means nothing to you, but it was Harvey Point Base. That's where the military, when they trained to kill Osama bin Laden, that was on the field on the other side that I farmed for many, many years ago. Harvey Point Base, anybody? It's a small base in Hertford, North Carolina, but for many, many months and over a year, they trained to go in and take out Osama bin Laden in Hertford, North Carolina. They mocked it. They mimicked it over and over and over again. And when they went in, the government went in with precision and took him out. It was on that field at that property that I was on kind of like a Cody Carnes moment. Lord, I don't want anything but just to be at your feet. It was a tender moment for me. I had come up in a church and I really didn't have a relationship with God. I just came through the system. I was in the building, but I was not born again. And then I aspired to be a farmer, and I thought, well, I'll go to NC State and I'll get a degree in agriculture. That'll help. And so I went to Raleigh, and in those days in Raleigh, I began to come back home on the weekends, and I remember leaning against the pole outside of a grocery store, big old chew of tobacco in my jaw. When I did it all, you know, I was just a country boy. Coveralls, boots, big truck, took a ladder to get in it. Big old chew of tobacco in my mouth. And this girl walks out of the store and I said, hey, when are you and I going out? And she said, well, you've never asked me. And I said, well, I'm asking you now. And that was like on a Thursday. She said, well, I have to work tomorrow night. I said, well, how about the next night? She said, no, she said, I've got something planned. I said, well, how about Sunday night? She said, well, I have to go to church. And I thought, this is going to be hard. This is going to be hard, but I wanted to go out with her. And so she finally let me know, if you're willing to go to church, my mom said yes. Church? I mean, I go to church on Sunday. It doesn't do anything for me, but I go. And I went in that little church with her, and that was my ticket to get into relationship with her. And I went into church with her, and I'll never forget it. I felt something that I'd never felt before. Joel, you reminded me of me. You got touched powerfully during the revival. Joel Tapscott. The couple of days after revival, Joel called me and he said, Pastor Wallace, I just got to talk to somebody. He said, I just can't stop crying. I said, man, God powerfully touched you during that revival. And I saw that and I can relate to that. I said, just don't let it die. Just keep on. If you need to call, talk, we'll talk. But just don't let that power die. And that's where I was, Joel, when I was in this field. I was farming. I was back there near the Harvey Point base. And I would get out of the cab of that John Deere tractor. I was picking peanuts. And I would get out of the cab of that thing and I would say, God, where are you? Because God seems so far away. in some moments, and yet he felt so near in others. Anybody ever felt what I'm talking about? I felt like God was a million miles away from me. But yet I could turn the corner and go back to the other end of the field, and peanuts are steady falling in there. And I would feel so close to God. So I'd get out of the tractor again, and I'd fall down on my knees, and I'd just weep. I just cried. And I couldn't stop crying. And I said, God, what do you want with me? And the Lord spoke to me and said, I don't want you harvesting this. I want you to harvest souls. And I remember sitting down with my boss. I had aspirations of farming, and I wanted to be a farmer, and I didn't come from a farm family, and I didn't have land, and I didn't know how it was going to work. I just knew that that's what I wanted to do. I like to work. I worked all day yesterday, man, digging with a shovel, all but a half a day, just digging, getting ready to pour some cement. I love to work. And I remember those tender moments. I remember just weeping before his presence. I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. That song had never even been written, but that's where I was. You don't owe me anything. All I want is you. I just want you. I couldn't get enough of Jesus. And God set me up, and he set me up with the partner that I would spend the rest of my life with. We married July the 12th, 1981. I was 19 years old. She was 17. Just kids. By 20, I was trusted with a church. I excelled quickly in classes and prepared myself as much as I could for ministry. And I just didn't feel like I had done everything that I should do. So one day, Joy and I made a decision. We're going to resign this church. We've been serving here for 4 years. We're going to resign this church, and I got a college degree, but that won't work with ministry. So I'm just going to go to Bible college. And I loaded up two small kids. Josh was in the first grade. I loaded up two small kids. Abigail was just a tiny little thing. And we went to Florida. I had $700 in a jar in the freezer. That's all I had to my name. I sold everything. I borrowed money from Southern Bank in Murfreesboro, Jimmy Eason. I signed my name on a loan to go to just get some money so I could move to Florida. Didn't have anything. He said, well, your credit's good. And I said, well, I just need a couple of $1,000s because I don't know what I'm going to need when I get there. So I had $700 in a jar and $2,000 from Southern Bank that we put in an account. And we loaded up the family, the two kids, and we went to Florida. And I gave myself to the task of preparing for ministry, and I've never stopped. Every week is preparation for me. I've never got to the place where I felt like, oh, you've arrived now, you are there. No, I'm not there, but I'm going to get there one day when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter now into the joy of the Lord. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. The same promise for you. Tender moments in the field. Tender moments in the field. So when I approach harvest time, I always think about that. I wept, I travailed, I poured out my heart to the God who was calling me away from my own aspirations unto his aspirations for me. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. Listen, you listen to me today, those of you who are just teetering on the edge of not knowing what to do, and you know, well, I'm already working here. So was I. I've got so many things planned. So did I. But God can just get into your plans and change things around. The word of God says, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah says this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And if you read the story, Jeremiah was like most of us. He had excuse. Moses did the same. God, I can't do this. You may find this hard to believe, and Joy can tell you. I used to be really afraid to stand in front of people. I was self-conscious of my appearance. I was self-conscious of my body. I was self-conscious of my facial, you know, a lot of oil on my skin and stuff like that. Just little things that may not mean anything to you, but it made me embarrassed to be around other people. And I certainly didn't want to say anything. I depended on alcohol to bring me to a certain level where I could function when I was a teenager and be popular. And I was popular. I was popular, but I wasn't popular because people loved me. I was popular because I had a truck and I had things that other kids didn't have. And so sometimes people just want to use you, you know? And I remember surrendering. I love that song this morning, Andy. All of me. not part of me. I surrendered all of me. And I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And he transformed me. And he gave me a wife. The Bible says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing. And receives favor from the Lord. And so I got favor. And when you don't have joy, I have joy. Amen. So... The Lord knew my life. Jeremiah tells us that God does these things in time past, eternally. He said, before you even born, I set you apart. And God changed my life. And as this young lady led me to Jesus and taught me relationship with him, and we got plugged into the church and just learned so many things, and my perspectives were different, my plan had changed, and my purpose was discovered. I know what I'm here for. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15 in the King James reads like this: "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I'll give you shepherds," one translation says, "according to my heart." It's the heart of the Father that he doesn't allow his sheep. You are his sheep. He doesn't allow his sheep to have someone who doesn't have the call of God upon their lives to train you, to nurture you, to equip you, to encourage you. And I began to do that. I began to pastor a church. And even when I came here 29 years ago, I really didn't know what I was doing. I look back now and I think, God, you're such a graceful God. You're a merciful God, because you allowed me to serve in the top position of an organization that I didn't even know what I was doing. And sometimes, you know what? I still don't know what I'm doing. But by faith, God helps me. God, and you know, favor's not fair. God's given me favor. He's given me favor to excel, favor to bless, favor to be a blessing. You know, it's an amazing, amazing thing. I prayed a prayer. I'm not going to tell you what the prayer was, but I was riding down the road the day before yesterday, and I prayed a simple prayer. I said, "God, please do this," and it was just a few words. That was Friday. Yesterday, he did it. That doesn't mean that I have, you know, the ability to make God do anything. I don't. He's God. I'm not. He's superior. I'm beneath him. As you all are. But I just ask him in faith, "God, would you please do this?" And then when I got the word that it was done, I was shocked. Okay. I said, "I can't believe you did that. Let me try this again. Let me hold my mouth the same way. Let me go back to the..." Y'all ever do that? Let me do what I was doing when he answered me before. It doesn't always work that way. It's faith. It's faith in God. And I wanted to be, as a preacher, I wanted to be a good preacher. Amen. I don't want to be a bad preacher. I want people to enjoy listening to me. I want to have something to say. And I get scared, you know, every time I speak. I was nervous this morning. I've been to the bathroom a couple of times, back and forth, you know, just make sure everything's okay. Heart beating rapidly when I step on the platform. My mom says, "Son," she said, "you look like you're just relaxed and having a good time." I said, "Oh, if you only knew. If you only knew." And you know what? I'm glad I still get scared. Because when you don't get afraid or don't get concerned about, then you think you've got this and you're in trouble. He said, "You humble yourself in the sight of God and the Lord will exalt you in due time." That's what he said. And so I gave myself to the Lord for the purpose of being a pastor. I said, and don't say this, listen, if you feel God's call, don't say what I said. I wrote about it in my first book, chapter 1, Never Say What You'll Never Do. because I made the statement when I felt the call of God, when I got down on my knees in the field and I surrendered in my heart and I said, Lord, I'll quit this and I'll do what you call me to do, but I'm not going to be a pastor. I said that before. I'll never pastor a church. I said, God's called me to evangelize. And I went around telling people that. I'll never pastor a church. And so God had called me to be a pastor. Not everybody can be a pastor. It's not an easy life. A lot of people think it is. But it's not an easy life. Your life is on display for everybody. We live in a glass bowl. Things that I say, you know, things that how I respond to something, even gestures on my face, we're all judged, you know, with a different judgment. But guess what? Take heart. We will be judged with a different judgment. It's harder. It's harsher. God will judge. To whom much is given, much is required. It was him, Ephesians. Paul says this in chapter number 4. The Bible says in chapter number 4, verse 11, so Christ himself gave apostles. God gave these men, these people, these human beings, he gave them to us as gifts. I'm a gift to you. I don't say that in a sense of arrogance or pride, but I'm like every other pastor. I'm a gift to the body of Christ. And I pray that I would be the gift that God's called me to be. For Christ himself gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, he gave the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And the reason that he does, inspired of the Holy Spirit, Paul pins this down for the church at Ephesus, but he tells us the very reason, verse number 12, to equip people for works of service. It was last week, Thursday is a great example. We were able to just receive 1,300 cases of food. And I didn't stay here at the church. I got in my truck and I loaded up my truck with boxes and I went where the Holy Spirit told me to go. This is where you go. And I serve people who are too busy to stop and come out here. And when we got here at 7:45 Thursday morning, there were 53 cars on this side of the building in the parking lot at 7:45. There's a need, friends. People have a need. They weren't here because, you know, they just were greedy. They were here because they have a need. Social Security will not make it for a person. I don't care if they're debt-free or whatever. I know that firsthand. It's not enough. And if you haven't put something aside, then you can't make it. And so we serve people who have needs. And I didn't really do anything Thursday. It's guys like Wesley Holland and Jack Terry, leaders, our elders, that you know, I thought an elder was being like the boss. No, it's a servant. You're a servant. These guys have the authority on their jobs to make sure they can get off and come here and serve. And they serve. And many others. Jeff was there. Just doing what we're called to do. And people got in there. Zach, Brian, I told Brian today, I said, man, I see God doing incredible things with your son. Zach just had the joy of the Holy Spirit on him. And he served, and I wasn't really here. I was all over the place. But an executive from a major company that paid for all the food that we received last week, we got favor with the company, and they gave us $58,000 worth of food last week. Just a gift. $58,000 worth of food. And you know what we did with it? We gave 2/3 of it away already to other churches, not to people in the community here. We called other churches and let them come and receive our blessings, because that's what God's called us to do. And so we haven't even given ours away yet, just to other churches. And I said, Lord, you're so amazing. You would lay it on the heart of a businessman in North Carolina to give us $58,000 worth of food. I had the bill of lading. I had the whole ticket of every item that was on there. That's favor. God's blessings are here, beloved. Listen, COVID, what's COVID? COVID shouldn't stop the church. COVID can't stop the church. This is the church of the living God. This is the church that Christ founded with his own blood. You can't stop, COVID can't stop the church. He said the gates of even hell can't prevail against the church. Why should we let a disease stop us from serving and giving? And so I hats off to you guys who served. And the executive from that company came in the sanctuary with me and sat down. Can I see your sanctuary? Can I see your office? I said, sure, you can see my office. I said, I don't spend much time here because I really don't need an office. But you can see my office. I don't know why they wanted to see my office. But we came into sanctuary, and she said, you need to get out there. And I said, no, I need to get out there. I said, I'll sit here and talk with you. You don't need to get out there. I said, no, they've got this. And she just shook her head. She said, that's amazing. I said, they don't need me out there. Wesley has got everything under control. Jack's got everything under control. They run that thing Thursday like a well-oiled machine. And in no time, people were blessed. We gathered and prayed, God, spare us from any accident. No one harmed today. No car gets bumped by another. We did everything we were supposed to do. Brian contacted the police department, said, hey, we're going to have probably a mile or so that way. Traffic backed up. I want to let you know we're going to give away food. And there was even David Shields' property. Our church parking lot was full. The entire parking lot across the street at David Shields was jammed to the gills with cars. Because God's favor rests upon this house. And the better days, somebody say better days. The better days are ahead. We've done some incredible things. But the better days are ahead. God's blessings, God's favor. And he said, I've called you. I've called you to inspire. I've called you to equip. He gave us these gifts, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. I'm a pastor, but I believe, as sure as I'm standing here, that I have the anointing of every one of those offices on my life. I believe I have an apostolic anointing on my life because I've raised up preachers. I believe I have a prophetic anointing on my life. I just prophesied over Joel Tapscott just a few minutes ago. I believe I have an evangelistic anointing on my life. I believe I have a pastoral anointing on my life, and I know how to teach the Bible. So what I really like is when God calls somebody and he gives them the anointing of all of those gifts embodied in one person. That's my favorite. These are gifts to the body to do what? To equip his people so that they can serve. No, I don't have to be out there. The team is doing it. I'm to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Why? So that the body of Christ, I'm just reading the Bible out loud here, so that the body of Christ might be built up. Built up for what? Just keep on reading. So you can reach unity in the faith. Man, we need unity. We need unity so bad. We're a good example of it, but there's still a lot of needs out there. It's still black church, white church. It's still big church, small church. We just need to work together. Just together. If we would start working together, then we would get farther ahead. Until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and maturity comes to us. Maturity. We need to be mature in the body of Christ. No bickering, no backbiting, no fussing, no complaining. I don't like that. So what if you don't like it? Sometimes I don't like it either. But we still need to be united with purpose. We need to be united in our hearts to the cause of Christ. And we let little things cause us to get attitudes. Little things. Churches have split over paint colors. Churches have split over pews or no pews. Churches have split over music choice. Churches have split over all kinds of things. We don't need that. We need unity. We need to become united with the heart of God, unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And we need to become mature, attaining the measure of the fullness of Christ, Christ in us, full to overflowing, so that what comes out of us is not us, but it's him. Amen. Then, verse 14, if you get to this place, if you become mature, then you won't be worried about being an infant, a baby, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by the wind of teaching that's out there and the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Man, there's so much junk out there that's taught today in the name of truth, and it's not true at all. So much crazy, foolish lies and things on the internet. It's not true at all. But instead, verse 15, we speak the truth in love and we grow to become in every aspect, in every respect, the mature body of Him who's the head. Lord, I don't need anything. I just want You. I want You to reflect out of my life through my countenance, through my kindness, through my character. I want to be Christ-like. What would Jesus do? Amen. What would Jesus do? From Him, the Bible says, the whole body, every one of us, and not just this church, but the body of Christ, is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. It grows and it builds itself up in love. That's really the truth about it, love. Love is the motivating power of the church. John 13, 35, by this all men will know that you're one of mine. You're my disciple. Why? If you have love one for another. This is how people will know that, because you got love one for another. I love people. I love the call of God on my life. I love the fact that He chose me. And I want to thank You for allowing Pastor Joy and I to serve here. To serve here for 29 years now. Thank You for honoring us in the month of October. There's little things mean a lot. They really do. We write down every time somebody gives us something. She says, honey, write that down. Write that down. And so I jot it down. I jot it down. Lynn Liverman gave me an NC State cup with two gift cards in it. I write that down. I don't forget that. I write that down. That Jennifer Blevins came in my office this morning and said, it's not much, but it's made with the heart. It's homemade. It's an Amish recipe, and I want you and your wife to have this. I'm going to get that after church, and you ain't getting none of it. Okay? All right. I write that down. I write that in my phone, and I write it on the pages of my heart. People give me things. People give me things. People give me love, and they give me things. And I've been, you know what, I sacrificed a lot of years in my life and had less than others. But God has so far surpassed my wildest imaginations of what He could give me. So far surpassed my wildest imagination. Ephesians 3:20, all more than I could even ask or imagine. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says this. He says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. There's a comma there, and the parenthetical statement is this, especially those whose work is teaching and preaching. You deserve double honor. And you do that. You honor us, and I thank You for that. And I ask you to continue to pray for us, because you know what? We're not spring chickens. We've been at this church for 29 years, and God has a plan. And so we must walk after His plan. What's his plan for us? What's the future look like for us? What will it entail? And it's our job and our task to listen to the same Holy Spirit that spoke to me in the clouds of peanut dust in the field that day. It's the same Holy Spirit, the one who called me, that will direct me in my later years. I'm in my later years. I'm almost 60 years old. And I love it. That means I got grandkids. Amen. Grandkids that I love enough to book two flights with Delta yesterday, because I'm going to see them between Christmas and Thanksgiving, whether you like it or not. Amen. I don't care where they move, I'm going to see them. Because I love my grandkids. God's good to us. So continue to pray for us as we serve here locally, and we serve over leaders, serve over churches, that His anointing and His favor would continue to rest upon this house of worship. We continue to give. We continue to serve. We continue to be a catalyst to other ministries and other churches. And we continue to raise up, listen, friends, don't miss this. We continue to raise up other people in ministry to go out into what God's called them to do in the kingdom. That's what makes us happy. Before I honor ministers today, Pastor Joy, would you join me on the platform here? Before I honor other ministers today, I just want to ask you, if you're a Wallace sitting here today and you're going through tender moments in your own heart and you can't really define it, you work your job, but that's not really where you want to be. That's where I was. I loved farming, but I didn't really want to be out there because there was a harvest inside my heart that I was more concerned about. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't understand this, but you made the call and I'm going to respond. If you're here today and you feel like the heavy hand of the Lord at some point in time, maybe now, maybe previously, has been laid upon your life and you can't really articulate it all. It ain't like, you know, being called. One man said, how do you know you're called by God? He said, well, I woke up one morning lazy as a dog and had a craving for chicken. No, that not really constitute the call of God. I'm sorry, that's what not ministry's. Ministry's not like that. But you're here and you understand that there's a call on your life and you really don't know how to answer it. Then I just, before God and these witnesses, that if you come to this altar today, I promise you, I pledge to you that I will help you step forward and help you try to understand what God is doing in your life. If that's you, please come and stand before me at this altar. It's going to take courage because you're going to say, wow, I don't really know what to do with my life. That doesn't surprise me, Joel. That doesn't surprise me at all. I don't really understand, Pastor, but I know this. God is calling me for something other than the normal. Thank you. That doesn't surprise me. Amen. God's calling me to do something other than the normal. Come on, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, come. Join these that have come today. I believe God has something more for me to do. I believe my life has a greater purpose than this company that I work for. That's what you're saying. If that's you, just come. Just come. So we'll all have a meeting together in just a little while. Because you know what? This is what makes me fulfilled. And we can sit around a table and we can articulate what was going on with you that day. What was God saying? What is he saying to you Tuesday and Thursday and Wednesday when you can't sleep at night? What is he saying to you? Because that's precisely where we were. And I don't really understand the call of God as I would like to. But I can relate to it. I can relate to it. Are there others? Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you don't really know how to respond. I'm going to give you just another moment. I could walk to some of you and say, why aren't you at the altar? Okay. You got it all over you. Okay. Why aren't you at the altar? So I'm going to give you a moment. Amen. Amen. Man, I didn't know it was going to be like this today. When I started thinking about preaching today on the call of God, I heard voices say, don't do that. They'll think you're bragging about yourself. Don't preach that. They'll think that you're just trying to get a nicer offering at the end of the service. And I heard the Lord say, listen, you represent me today, not your own aspirations. Call of God doesn't mean you're going to Africa, okay? Doesn't mean you'll pastor a church like I do. But it does mean this. before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I set you apart. Caught up in this moment, Jesus, you don't owe me anything. Thank you, Lord. Presence. Amen. Well, I just want to sit here at your feet, caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Thank you, Lord. Sorry, Brittany, I'm doing the best I can do. I'm not here for blessings, Jesus, you don't owe me a secretary. I need someone with a pen and a piece of paper, because I want you to write down the name and the cell phone number of every person standing here at this altar. Because I pledge to you, I'm not going to leave you alone. Amen. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to help you. So would you just lift your hands right where you are, all of you that are here at this altar, just lift your hands. Come on, could I get some people to just come and stand behind them? Preachers, come on, preachers, elders, prayer team members, just come. Select you one. Select you one. Everybody that's coming behind you knows what this feels like. They know what this feels like. Hallelujah. Just stand behind somebody. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry. I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry. Hallelujah, I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the strong name of Jesus, Pastor Joy, would you just grab some oil there and just begin to go down and anoint each one of these. Lord, I just want to thank you. Thank you for the call of God. Come on, just worship him, guys. Just worship him. I thank you for the call of God, the divine separation, God, that you're doing in the lives of these this morning. Father, you're doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, Lord. You're working by your power. You said in the book of Jeremiah, before you formed us in the womb, you knew us. You ordained us prophets to the nations, Lord, that a heavy hand is laid upon us from another world. We're not your own. We are bought with a price and purchased for a purpose to magnify and glorify the name of Jesus. And God, I give you myself, all of me, every part of me. Come on, pray that the prayer this morning. I give you every part of me, Lord. I've done it my way long enough. I just surrender everything, Lord. All the aspirations that I have about my own life, all the aspirations. I give myself to you, God, today in a way that I've never done before. You know my thoughts. You know the intents of my heart. You know my purpose, God. And I pray in Jesus' strong name, God, that you would just manifest your will in these next few days and weeks and months, God. That you would cause me to be positioned perfectly into your plan. I surrender, Lord, everything about me. I surrender to you today, God, afresh and anew, Lord, afresh and anew. In the name of Jesus. Come on. If you feel the Holy Ghost, just pray in that prayer language that God gave you. Come on. Pray in that prayer language the Lord gave you. Press through. Don't let him stop you. Don't let the enemy stop you today. In Jesus' strong name, don't let him stop you. God, I give myself to you. Says, I am going to pour out my spirit upon you. All the prayers that you thought I've not answered, that I perhaps didn't even hear, the Lord says, I heard them all. I have them bottled in heaven. They're at my throne, says the Lord. And there's not a prayer that you have prayed that I have forgotten. And the Lord says, I'm going to cross the T and dot the I's, and I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above all of your thoughts. And I'm going to show off, says the Lord. I'm going to manifest my power to do things that you cannot do. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Brittany, can you sing this song? Do you feel like you can sing this? Come on, just sing it through one more time. Sing it through one more time. Stretch your hands out to these, would you? You guys just lift your hands and love on him and listen closely to the words of this song. Just listen. Let it minister to you. Let it wash over you. Let it wash over your spirit this morning. In Jesus' name. Preachers, prophesy. Prophesy.
Oh, I'm not here for
prophesy over these people. God's giving you words for them. Come on. Speak a word over them.
Jesus,
thank you, Lord.
Nothing else.
I just feel like that there's calling on people's lives in this house that we serve. And Pastor Noli, I'll be honest with you. I thought, you know, maybe a couple of people. You know what they say in the church world today? That a lot of people are not going into ministry today. That's what they're saying. People are not responding to the call of God. That's what they're saying. And I just counted 13 individuals that have said something this morning. 13 people. People are not responding to the call of God. And you know, the unique thing of what's happening here is that for every one of you, it will be different. It will be different for every one of you. Just be careful. I'll give you a copy of my book, okay? First chapter, never say what you'll never do, okay? I said, look at where I am now, 40 years as a pastor. I said, I will never pastor a church. So be careful. Don't say what you won't do. Okay? Okay? Just say, Lord, I just want you, and I want you to fulfill your will in my life, because that's ahead of you. Okay? And I'll be in touch with you, I promise. Did I get a secretary? Did somebody write that stuff down for me? Thank you, Brenda. Because I don't want to miss anybody. I don't want to miss anybody. I did expect people to respond, but not like this. God forgive me of my little faith. So. you guys can be seated. Just be seated right there on the first couple of rows, if you would. Just back up and take a seat. So I want to honor ministers today. And Pastor Jordan. The first one that I want to honor is just a lady who has loved me absolutely unconditionally. When I've disappointed her, when I've fallen short of expectation or responsibility, she still just loves me. And I've learned that over the years that if I want to hear God more, I just need to listen to what she has to say. Amen. So, because she speaks. I always wanted to hear the voice of God. I just didn't think it was going to sound like Joy. Okay. So Pastor Joy, I honor you today. Pastor Noli Hall, come on up here, man. Let me just honor you today. We were talking about you just this past week to someone else. And they said, well, can you describe him? I said, sure. I said, he's an incredible worship leader. He's a strong intercessor. He's a great preacher of the gospel. He has compassion. He has gentleness, self-control, discipline, character. We just talked about you, okay? And I mean that. I do. I mean that I admire you. I admire you deeply. And I know you guys do too. He's an incredible guy. He's been here for a long time. And very gifted, very, very gifted individual. And so that just led us. You say, well, who are you talking to? And I can't tell you that, okay? But I said, one thing I do know is that God is in control of his life, and he has surrendered his life. And he's not living for himself. He's living for God and for his kingdom. And so I just appreciate you, Pastor Noli, for the work that you do, not just limited to administrative skill and ability, but your heart for the kingdom and for this church and for the youth. And just we just appreciate you, man. God bless you, my friend. I love you. Pastor Gary and Miranda. Pastor Gary and Miranda Saunders have, wow. If I could say there's a couple here in this church that have just got the achievement award in 2020. I mean, these guys, I'm serious. Come on. I mean, serious. These guys have just, they've slapped COVID in the face, okay? They've slapped COVID in the face and said, get out of here, because it has done nothing but take them to a whole new level. And all that they started because of COVID now is stacked on their plate, and they're doing both in person and online, creating things that other churches are asking. I had one call me just past week and said, hey, could you tell me how that guy does that stuff? And I mean, how does he produce all that? I said, that's a long story, man. That's a long story. And you probably don't have time for it. But I said, he said, well, could they help us just like talk to us about it? I said, sure, they can talk to you about it. But they're not going to do it for you, okay? But just an amazing, amazing accomplishments you guys have done. And we love and appreciate you and thank God for your calling and that you have patiently served, tirelessly served the people of Carpenter Shop International Church and beyond. We love you guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are other ministers that are not on a specific staff position, but we want to honor those this morning. And that just incredible, incredible people who've blessed my life and bless yours as well. Pastor Mike Blow, would you come? Miss Bonnie is serving upstairs this morning. Pastor Mike was talking about you. I talk about you guys a lot. I was talking about him just this past week. And 2020 for him was a tremendous test of faith. Because you talk about aspirations and plans and desires. He had it all pinned out. Everything planned across not this county, but across the globe. And when all of your plans and your aspirations are in just one fell swoop, it all crumbles down, and the Lord says, that's not where you're going, okay? But yet, it doesn't change the call. It just prepares you. I hear the Lord saying this. It just prepares you for even greater effectiveness. Because God's removed you for just a season. He's removed you from what you were doing to plan for even greater than what you even imagined or thought. Ephesians 3:20 is your verse too. And it's amazing that God does have plans. And so he's availed himself to teach, and he's availed himself to counsel and serve and minister on our Wednesday night Bible study, both online and in person. And I thank God for that. Thank you for your friendship, my friend. It's been an incredible journey to know you and to love you. And extremely gifted man in so many ways. And I love you and your family. We thank God for what you do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Mike Blood. Pastor Bernie Hurdle and Miss Doris, just incredible people. Come here, guys. We won't make you climb the steps. Praise the Lord. Pastor Bernie, just a prince of preachers, man. He knows how to preach. Amen? He knows how to preach. And I tell you, he's a man of sacrifice, too. I have sent him on missions that nobody else would want to do. You just look at those people, if you would. Turn around and look at those people. I've sent him on missions that nobody else would want to do. In fact, have him going again November 1st. Is it next Sunday? I just text him, hey, do you mind you know, preaching here? Do you mind going there? And his answer is always the same. Amen. Pastor, I'm available, okay? And I just appreciate your heart and your passion for the things of God. And I appreciate the gift of God inside of you and Miss Doris. And this congregation just loves you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Not here today, but watching online from Pennsylvania. Hello, Pastor Ted and Kathy. You know, Pastor Ted has been here, and he's done things behind the scenes, and he's an encourager to me. And he just a while back just purchased a home. They live in Pennsylvania. And just purchased a home, and he said, Pastor, I just want you to know that I'm yours. I'm here. I want to serve. I give myself to you. I don't expect nothing in return. I just want to give myself to the work of the kingdom. And moving from Pennsylvania, selling a place, moving to North Carolina, and to settle in and say, okay, God, here I am. Amen. What an incredible, amazing thing that the Holy Spirit could do in the life of a person. Pastor Ted and Kathy, we love you guys. We have a gift for you on this Pastor's Appreciation Day. Amen. Also not here today, a man who has a deep, deep faith in God and always one of the first early arrivers in this house of worship for several years now. A man who came in through difficulty and hardship, and Mary loved on him and ministered him through a great crisis time in his life. And when he finished, he said, you know what? This is where I belong. Pastor James Gay, not here today, but we just want to honor him today, and I'll make sure that he gets what we have for him. Praise the Lord. Other ministers that have responded to the call of God, gone through training, gone through preparation, we just want to honor you today as you've availed yourself to serve here. Without fail, every time we said, hey, can you do this? Can you help us here? And Mary Harper, one such individual, would you give her a hand today? Praise the Lord. It's time to appreciate people in ministry. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord, Mary. We love you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Susan Williams. Daryl is with her today. Susan and Daryl, will you guys come? Because you know what? You don't respond to call. If you're one unit, when the whole gang, God gets the whole gang. When he calls you, he gets the whole package. And so we appreciate Daryl and Susan, their tireless faithfulness to the kingdom of God here. And, you know, Susan, every time I see you step on the platform, this morning when I saw her step up there, I said, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. And guess what? He did it. He did it. Amen. He just encourages and admonishes and inspires through her. And I look at you, Susan, and I just see a Priscilla Shira wrapped up inside of you. I just do. I just do. Come on, how many of you would dare believe with me? Amen. That she should be standing on platforms doing what God's called her to do. And we're going to believe that we're going to see that come to pass. Amen. Would you give it up for Susan Williams? God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me get that hand there. Praise the Lord. God bless you, my friend. Praise the Lord. Michael Wilson, is Michael here today? Michael serves in our, he came to us as a minister from another fellowship, and he serves along with Julie in our Celebrate Recovery meeting. He's also helped on our technical team. And without fail, this man will call me and say, Pastor, I just wanted to let you know I've received an invitation to preach at such and such a church. Is that okay with you? And I tell him every time, Michael, you don't have to do that. You really don't, because you're not on my staff, and I'm not expecting you to do thus and such, you know, every service or something. And he says, Pastor, as long as I'm here, I believe in high ethics, and I want to communicate that with you. So he always does. Give it up for Michael Wilson, would you? You know, I look out today, and I see ministers. I see a minister here today that has deposited much into the life and the ministry of Carpenter Shop over the years, and have a great respect for her and her husband. He's not here today, but I'd be remiss if I didn't just recognize Evangelist Christine White. Would you come today and just let us honor you today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for what you do for the kingdom and what you've done in your times of service here. We don't forget that. We really don't. And so praise God. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Give it up for Christine White, would you? I want you to leave here today. We're not done yet, but I want you to leave here today with a deep, deep, deep sense of responsibility and response to those individuals that you saw standing across the front here. The very first thing that will happen to them is the devil will jump on them the minute they leave this sanctuary and say, yeah, right. Or tomorrow when an ugly word comes out of their mouth, the devil will say, so you're called, huh? You know, he will beat them down, I promise you. You know, you preachers know what I'm talking about. Oh yeah, minister, I hear you, reverend, okay? So I promise you, they will be beat down by the enemy. So you build them up in their faith and in their calling, amen. Two of our elders are coming now, Wesley and Dorothy, just God sends to this church. Would you give it up for Wesley and Dorothy today? Yes, you may.
Not only pray for them and encourage them, but also hold their feet to the fire. That's what one of the elderly women told me one time many years ago. I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. So hold their feet to the fire. Remind them. Encourage them. Yes, remind them, but push them forward. You know, sometimes we are led, but sometimes we're led with a stronger hand. So when they began to step out today, I was just so excited for them because, you know, taking that physical step in front of everybody, you know, you can do it on your own and do it quietly to yourself. And, you know, nobody has to hold you accountable like that. You know, you can secretly do it with God. And then when you say, oh, you know, that's okay. You know, God knows my heart. You know, all the excuses, the timing is not right, and all these things that we use. But these people have made that step forward, and y'all are holding them accountable to follow through with the call that God's placed on their life.
Amen. I want to give you an assignment for those of you that responded today to that calling. I want you to, this week at some point, could be today, tomorrow, Tuesday, whenever, but I want you to just take a piece of paper. You can do it on your computer or do it on the old-fashioned way. But I want you to write down today what you feel in your heart. And when you begin to write that down, almost like you're writing a diary to the Lord Jesus, I want you to articulate what you feel and why you stood. Okay? Please. This is important. And I want you to join Pastor Joy and I next Sunday. Say next Sunday. For lunch, right after church, in the Family Life Center. We will have a meeting for the called and the chosen, okay? All right? So I want you to join me. I'm not playing. I quit school because of recess, okay? So I'm not playing here. I want to help you. My job is to help you. And he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to equip. Now is where the real thing comes. So I want to help you. I'm yours, okay? When I went into ministry, I got very disappointed. I begged. Ask Pastor Joy. I begged my pastor to invest in me. And you know what? I sat like a kid. He let me preach one time, and I sat like a kid on his doorstep Monday morning when he went to church. Those were the days when preachers stayed at the church all the time. We don't do that anymore. We got cell phones and laptops. That's all we need. But I sat on his doorstep waiting for him to come to the office on Monday morning. And I asked him. I wrote about it in my book that I'll give you. I asked him, I said, how did I do yesterday? And he looked at me and he said, you did fine. That was it. And my question was, what did that mean? You did fine, because in the next few months, he really answered the question. Evidently, I did do fine. And help me here, I did too fine. Because I was a threat to him. Or I really did not do fine, and he didn't want to give me any opportunity at all to mess up again, because he never, never encouraged me in the call of God. And so I believe that God allowed me to suffer that hurt so that I would not be a person who would not invest in the people God places in my path. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord. So next Sunday we have a meeting, okay, in the Family Life Center, lunch after church with Pastor Wallace, Pastor Joy, and the rest of the pastoral staff. God bless you.
I'm proud to serve at Edit Church. I give it to my wife.
He needed a mic for that. Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy, I'll come to y'all. Come on here, Holland. Where you at? We couldn't even begin. This check didn't even begin to pay y'all what y'all will do. But it is a little token of what we appreciate and we love about y'all. So this is from the church. God bless y'all. Stand right there. All right, elders, where y'all at?
And I was told not to make no cheese jokes.
Shut up. And this is from the elders. And I'm like, I ain't exactly sure why God told Pastor that we should be elders, but I'm like, I will never understand that. But we take it to SAS, and we believe that God did tell you that this is our calling, and we're going to take it and we're going to run with it.
Amen. All right. Prove that all the time. Amen.
Y'all ladies, all right.
Just, we love you.
Thank you.
No.
Okay. All right.
You guys, yes, we love you.
Be quiet.
Praise the Lord. Thank you guys so much for loving us, for your gifts. We will enjoy opening envelopes this afternoon, and I promise you, we won't do it on the way home. We always take them home, relax, throw our feet up, and we read the kind words that you share with us. So, that's right. We might not make Jennifer's get all the way home, so it might not make it. Praise the Lord. Let me just pray for each of us today. Father, we thank you for gifting and calling. We thank you, Lord, for that which you've done here today, a day that will go down in my heart as probably one of the greater days of ministry here in this house. I give you thanks. I thank you, Lord, that your word for Jeremiah is for us today as well, that you've called us and placed us before we were even a thought. You had plans for us, and we give you praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome Sunday, and we appreciate you very much. Amen.